And I feel like for some of you in the room, you've been praying for God to speak to you, but you haven't had the right, the radio turned into the right frequency to hear exactly what he's been saying to you. And so you've been having voicemails building up in your inbox from God. So specifically, I feel like God's going to have certain people in the room, your hands start burning, start feeling like they're full of heat and fire. Is anybody having that sensation? Anybody? Yeah? Yeah? So for you specifically, God has voicemails for you. So if you're around a person, you can put your hand up if your hand started to burn. You can extend your hand towards them and say, God, release. Better and more clearly. There's a grace for that right now. There's a grace for that this year. You're going to walk more intimately and closely with Father God. You're going to hear His voice because His sheep hear His voice. And that's a promise. So if I could just have everybody put your hands out like this in receiving position. Say, thank you, Father, for all that you have to say to me this year.
Tell there weren't any Christians anywhere to be seen. The closest my daddy would ever come to talking about the Lord was to make fun of Christians. He'd say something about their music was all come to Jesus in whole notes. That was his contribution to Christianity. My mom didn't have anything at all to say about it. And raised all five of my beautiful children to be atheists. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit won't be denied. Because way back in my family line, about the 1500s, there was an extremely fervent person who was willing to risk everything to practice his religion. And he finally, a couple of hundred years later, came to the United States about seven generations ago, just specifically for more religious freedom. And he wrote a lot of hymns. He was a really, really godly man. And he was my father's, I don't know what, grandfather, great-grandfather, whatever. Anyway, when my mama and daddy died, having led godless lives, and your basic normal godless lives, they weren't bank robbers or anything like that. Mama got saved just before she died, and my daddy got saved about 6 months before he died. And I'm so happy. And my beautiful firstborn child over there. God bless her. I love her so much. She's a Christian. And she's a very, very, very hungry young lady. And Todd's a very fervent Christian. Dana, not so much. Bennett, oh no. Bennett, Elaine, and all of Elaine's wonderful kids and her husband. They're just fodder. You know, the Holy Spirit is going to fall on them just like He fell on me. Like, I woke up one morning. I was 47 years old. And I woke up one morning and destroyed all my jazz records. And I mean, I really, because I knew that was my idol, I just destroyed them all. And I didn't even know any Christians, but I just knew that I was one. And I took it for granted that I would lose the love of all my children and my friends would turn away from me. But that didn't even happen. God is so good. Well, anyway, I've talked long enough. God is good. The Holy Spirit can do anything. Don't sweat it.
A few years ago, I was listening to a sermon, and it was by Danny Silk, and he said that we needed to practice the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, okay, how do you do that? How do you practice the presence of the Holy Spirit? But so years later, I now know how to do that, because you press in. You press in. You go there. It's a choice. We can let the wind blow us, and wherever we land, reap the consequences, or we can press in. We can practice that presence, and not so much in the year of 2016, but 2014 and 15 were really rough, and because I learned to press into the Lord during hard situations, it was just like almost a blessing, because I could see all the things that God did, even during really hard times, that just made me pause and go, thank you, Lord. And so I'd encourage you just to take that time and learn, make a choice to just press into Him.
First of all, thank you for having us. We've been here a few times and really love being here. 2016 for me was probably sonship was one of the things that God really revealed to me. There's a quote by Leigh Petland that says, sonship is the flagship for all other ships. And just letting go of a lot of stuff that was really causing me a lot of inward turmoil, and to let go of that and being a son is more important than anything else at all. And that just so set me free. And that's helped my marriage, it's helped everything happening. And I think also a realization about family. And I want to, it's a testimony for me, but also a testimony about you, of how you carry family here so wonderfully, so precious. But actually, I know that we've been on Ropes Course twice, in first year and now in second year. And we come up here because we just see family. Because it's so easy to connect with family here, that you are family, that there are people here we know in different ways and different levels of connection. I want to honour you because you are family. So it is actually vulnerability. It is about, what was the other thing, vulnerability and safety. But you are a place of vulnerability and safety. We're able to be vulnerable, and we're able because you feel safe with you, because you are family. So thank you. Thank you so much for being family. And thank you for being a place that demonstrates to us as a couple, but also the people who come up here, and how what family looks like. Thank you for that. Thank you.
I've waited long enough. I wanted to see all of you. But since the lights are like this, I can't see you very well. But I know you're there. Seems like I have a lot to share, but one thing is that I feel that the word for this year, actually this year, 2017, has already started. The word is restoration. And there's a song that I really love. It's Dry Bones Come Alive. I don't know if you've heard it. Lauren Daigle. Awesome. I think that's going to happen this year. And I had an occasion just about a month ago with a young man that's been walking around town for years. Some of you know him. He used to go to Mountain Chapel when it was called Calvary Chapel. Walks around with his head down. You can't seem to make contact with him, even though you might try. But recently I was walking out of the bank and he was coming down the road, and I said, I'm determined that I'm going to make contact with him. And I was able to do that. Somehow he came alive and he smiled. He remembered my name after 20 years maybe. And we shook hands and told him I loved him and invited him to church. And he says, you know, I've been thinking about doing that. And I saw him the other day and honked my horn at him and he waved. And I don't think he's here today, but I believe he will be. And I believe there's many, many men like that and women that are going to come back to the Lord this year. So God bless you. And I also want to say something about my wife. We had this little 3x3 picture of our wedding. And she said, why don't we see if we can get that bigger? So we went to CVS and got it to be a 5x7, put it in a frame. She posted it on Facebook. Some of you saw it. But we have it up by on a table so we can look at it all the time. And remember what God did for us. She said she was an atheist, but I don't think I believe that. But it was just a total miracle that we got together. We met in 1974 and were married in January of 77, 40 years ago. So be encouraged.
So I need to read a little piece of scripture first. It's out of Mark 1:1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. And when we think about the path that we've been on, for me it was oftentimes a path of what can I do to make things happen? And I think the realization has come upon me that everything that I do, everything that I am, everything that I accomplish in my life is because the way has been prepared for me. And I think it's been prepared for each of us. And we think that our efforts are what help us move through life. And I think I'm here to tell you today that I realize that it's because God loves us and He's prepared the way for the direction that we go. And I think that's what I'm going to look forward to in 2017 and for the rest of my life, in knowing that God is preparing the path that we're all going to travel. So watch and see what God does for you.
Hi, I'm Gail. And I might as well make the three of us, as my father and my mother spoke already. I moved here in April, the end of April this year. And I remember as a child, I was just so joyful. I felt such joy. I remember being in the alleyway, and I really didn't have a lot of friends. I had a friend, she's an older lady. I liked older people for some reason. But I just really wanted to go to church. I'd had a couple of child friends that they went to, they were Catholics, but I just wanted to know God at that point. And I asked my parents if we could go to church. And they said, we'll go to the Unitarian Church because there is no God there. I didn't really know. It was a big burn on me. And I wanted to go into the main church with everybody, you know. So anyway, my husband passed away in 2013. I was in the hospital with him for every day for 6 months. And he finally passed away at home. I had him there for a week. And, you know, I think I could see him going to a better place. I tried to help direct him. And he left when I told him where he could go. And then I wanted to go to church when I was with him, but he wouldn't go. And so finally I went to a church in Oakland. And then I just decided to surmount seemingly insurmountable things. I had a huge amount of storage, and I also had a whole house full of stuff. So I rented a 17-foot trailer for the U-Haul, and I loaded the thing entirely by myself. And I've already had somebody take the storage stuff up here. And I drove that, and I towed my car behind me. It took me 11 hours to get here. It was just wild. It was very foggy on my way here. So I made it. I finally made it. I came to be here with all of you. So thank you for being here.
Safety and vulnerability here. This was my family before I moved to Michigan. And I have been attending here for 28 years, I think, something like that. Anyway, when I decided to move back here to see you wonderful people, I got a lot of opposition. How could you leave your grandkids? How can you leave your daughter? And I started feeling really bad about it, but I knew this was where God wanted me. So I called my friend, Laura, and I said, how would you like to fly out and drive back with me? And she did. She packed up my apartment in 4 days' time. Within a week, we were on our way, 6 days, pulling a 12-foot trailer, which I've never pulled a trailer before. And she was supposed to help, but I could tell she wasn't into it. So I said, fine. As long as you keep me awake, I'll do all the driving. We ended up in Tahoe, not meaning to. It was a journey that was just, well, we were coming down I-80, and we spent our last night in Reno, and we didn't realize, or I didn't realize, neither one of us, that we had passed the off-ramp to go onto whatever highway to Susanville. So we're driving, and it's like, Tahoe? I don't think this is on our map. And we turn around, and got back on track. But I wanted you to know, this is a family. This is an awesome family. And speaking of families, and I don't want to cry, when my mom passed 4 years ago, my oldest sister, like, disowned my other sister and myself. We were the horrible half-sister I was. And but we've talked off and on. Well, she called the 17th of December out of the blue. She's never called me. I've always initiated the call. How you doing? What's going on? How's Weaverville? I mean, this was just like blown away. I'm like, it's fine. I'm good. How are you? And she said, you know, I've just been wondering about you, wondering how you are as my sister. And I'm like, And these are years of prayer, because there's not, I mean, half or whole, it doesn't make a difference. Family's family. And to hear her wonder and worry about me was just, it was us. And so I did. I told her, I said, I appreciate you calling. You know, and we've talked twice since then, which is, I can feel God pulling her. And that's the restoration part. I really believe, and I know all of you, well, most of you, have relatives that just aren't quite there, but don't give up. Because a lot of them are on, they're teetering, but your words and your love will knock them right off.
Love being up here. Anyway, you know, I just really want to emphasize to everybody here that this really is a church of love. I mean, I've been here forever because I'm getting old. Anyway, which is a good thing. You know, it's kind of like a sailboat. You know, it's real easy when the sails are full and the wind is hitting it and it's sunny and it's easy. But this is a church of, you know, when it gets stormy and stuff and your sails aren't full, this church supports you and loves you. And, you know, I'm reminded, I saw Chris and Kathy the other day, who I adore always for a lifetime. Charlie and Julie and Kirk, and, you know, Kirk Alderson and Michelle, and just people that, those people still love me. They love me from the start. They still love me. It's just, you know, so when my sailboat gets a little, you know, off with the wind not hitting it, you know, I know this, you know, this body and, you know, people that have been in this body for years and years and aren't here anymore, it still gets me back where I need to be. So be encouraged being here, because this is a good place to be. Bless you.
I can put all this together. So many things have been hitting me, but I don't think we're supposed to sit on things when God gives it to us. And so I'm going to share. I know this has been a long road for me. In my years in New Mexico was a lot of training and trying to figure out my walk with the Lord and who I was. And I found out some things, that I was a total rebel and didn't want to hear a lot of things that I know God was calling me for. But in that time, I knew that there were gifts that I was supposed to be using, and it came from childhood. And so I just was searching everywhere, going to every Bible study, every conference, everything I could possibly learn more about myself. And I wanted to be a healer, but I didn't realize how much I needed healing myself. And so in those 10 years, a lot of things happened to me, and a lot of things were spoken over me, and all it did was confuse me. Then I made a decision, the toughest decision I ever made, was to leave my new house in New Mexico and go to Cincinnati to be with my grandchildren and my daughter. And while I was there, I did receive healing, inner healing, some physical healing. It was a platform of more training and more learning and more walking with Jesus. And when I got to, I went to a big church in Kentucky within the first 2 weeks I was there, just out of the clear blue. And there was a highway I did not want to drive on, and it was bad weather, and I knew I was supposed to go. And I went, and I was called up by, how many remember, Cletty Keith brought me up and out of all these people, and he prophesied over me, and he told me things that I had heard before. And I just kept thinking, when is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? You know, teach, preach, use these hands to bring healing to bodies. And it just didn't seem like it was ever happening until I came here, and the things that for me personally that I want to share with you is that the process sometimes is long. God calls every one of us, and we all have gifts. The process is long. Not for everybody. Some of us have confusion. Some of us are rebels. Some of us just aren't ready. But I can look at all of you and I can see things in you that I know God wants to bring out in you. And I know that you know what those things are. But what God does is he sanctifies and he cleans you up and he teaches as he goes, and he does it really gently, and sometimes you don't even know that he's doing it. And sometimes there's frustration in not being able to walk into that place where he's called you. But just be patient and keep walking, and never think that that isn't really what you heard, because it is what you heard. And you will walk into it. And so one day, I'm in the prison ministry here, the jail ministry, and those girls break my heart. They just break my heart. And it's hard sometimes for me to pray for them. I'm an intercessor, and I see all the bad stuff. And one day God showed me, he said, it started for me, that the word started for me, but it's really for all of you. And it turned into that. It lasted forever, it seems like, in my private time with the Lord. He said to me, Cherie, I am everywhere. I'm everywhere. Because I feel sometimes like my ministry is not adequate. That I don't really reach them. I don't really teach them anything. But he was showing me that he is everywhere. Everywhere around us. And that we always can know that he's got us, and he knows our every thought. He knows our weaknesses in those places where we feel like we're not doing anything. And I can't remember the whole prophecy. It was a long one for me, but he was saying, I'm everywhere. I'm in the last leaf on that tree. I'm in the ripple of that water. I'm in this fog. I'm in your workplace. And as I was getting ready to walk into work, I heard him say, don't leave me. And I think sometimes we get frustrated and confused, and it's too hard to keep moving forward in our gifts. And it's kind of scary. I mean, it's not funny even for me to come up here. But what he was trying to encourage me and all of you, therefore, is to just know that he's got your thoughts, and all you have to do is just step over a little bit and let him do the work, and you'll see, you'll begin to see the labor, the fruit of your labor. And I just want to encourage you that if that's you, where you think, you know, that you haven't, you didn't really hear it straight. You really want to do this, but you don't know how, and the time's not right, and there's stuff you need to let go of, or whatever it is, that your time is coming, and that he will show you things. For me, 2016 was not just these revelations, but it was all of a sudden a downpour of all the things I had been praying for with him, intimacy with him, hearing his voice. I want to see angels. There's been more word, more prophecy, more wisdom in me that he's going to do with you too. So when I was praying during the holidays, I saw like a strand of lights. It was Christmas lights, really bright ones. And it was just in the sky. And I was like, okay, where are these lights at? And I think it was like on the, you know how we're always praying for heaven to touch earth? And I think that those strands were right on the edge of heaven coming down to touch earth. And all those little shining bulbs were us. And there was peace and joy, prosperity, all the things that we've been asking for. Those little bulbs are us bringing those things about through our prayer. And so whatever your gift is, you're all called to pray. And don't ever doubt that your prayers are, they're effective and they're working and they are touching people, and that is our job, to bring the kingdom of God. And I just think 2017 is going to, those little bulbs are going to be shining bright.
So we're going to do kind of a combination of things. We're going to take communion together. We'll make one announcement. Read your bulletin. That's not it. But read your bulletin. But there's one. It says that the Foundations class is continuing tonight, which is not true. It's going to go continue next week. But we're going to do, we're going to take communion together. Your fingers getting tired, Dave? You're doing great. we're going to take communion together. I said that. But we're also going to do something that we're just going to kind of see how this works. And it won't take, well, it'll take as long as you guys want to take. But I think communion's coming out. And we're going to take a minute. And up here, there's a little box. I just opened this box. There's two jars with some pins in there. And then there's a stack of paper there. And what I want to do is I want to write our prophetic words and our prayer requests for 2017. And we're going to put them in this box. And the whole thing, just as kind of a prophetic act of positioning ourselves on the platform we built of testimony. You heard a lot of different stories and things that God's done and is doing, and that positioned ourselves in faith. We're speaking to the new year, praying into the new year, that we're believing for these things to happen. And so I want to encourage you, a couple of the things that we've talked about, one being, I mean, there's just this feeling of restoration, family and restoration. And so I'd encourage you to write that down. You know, restoring in their name would be awesome. Write that down, throw it in the box. It's not a magic box. I just built it the other day. It's just a box. But we're going to store the stuff in there. And next year we'll open them up. And we'll check it out. And we'll just remember. How many of you guys have the same challenge? I have the same challenge. Like where when I think of testimonies, I go, I know God's doing all these amazing things. But I can't remember what they are. I know there's been a bunch of them. And so we're actually going to be able to look back and go, oh, God did that. Look at it. I wrote it down. And God did it. And so that's what we're going to do. So we're going to kind of take the next 15 minutes or so before we go and celebrate New Year's Day in whatever way you're going to. We're going to take communion together, and we're going to do that. So grab your communion, and then we're going to worship a little bit. I'll walk you guys through. We'll do communion together. And then at any point in the next 10 or 15 minutes, you can come up, grab a pen. There should be enough pens. I don't know. There's a bunch of them. Pen and paper. And then over the next little bit, bring your thing and throw it in there. And then probably somewhere right around noon, I'll close the service. So that's kind of how it's going to go. So you can kind of know what to expect. Okay? So we're going to pass out communion. Dave's going to lead us. And we'll go from there. Received from the Lord. that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, claim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord God, we just thank you for, we thank you for 2016. We thank you for the breakthrough. We thank you for the testimonies. We thank you for everything that you've done and brought us through and brought us into. And look forward to 2017 with excitement, anticipation, faith, and hope. Yeah. So we're going to stay, just give us a little bit longer. Haven't already, come up and grab a piece of paper and grab a pen and just take a few minutes, and whatever's on your heart, whether it's a prophetic word that you're that you feel like the Lord's put on your heart to speak into the year, or whether it's a prayer request or something that you've, even if you've been praying it for years, pray it again. I just feel like there's this real strong anointing on restoring family, and so I just encourage you specifically, whether it's just restoring a broken relationship or actually someone coming into relationship with the Lord, I feel like the Lord's doing that. So I just encourage you, be specific in your requests. We're just going to stay and worship for a few more minutes, 5 or 10 minutes. Just worship and write something down, and then I'll pray and we'll release you guys. So just hang in there, press in. And also, yeah, we didn't really do offering, and so I don't want to shift it and throw it in there just for the sake, but the offering baskets are up here. You guys know how to do offering, and you guys know how to give your tithes. You're faithful and wonderful and generous. And so it can stay up here, and as you bring up your prophetic word or your prayer request, you can throw those in the box and throw your tithes in the baskets. There's one on each side. And thank you guys for being flexible, and just hang in there, take a minute, and then we'll close the service in just a little bit. Let's worship.
Oh, you are the beginning. And
Thank you for a wonderful year, and we thank you that the best is yet to come. We choose to celebrate all the things that you've done, and we come to you humbly with our requests, with our prayer requests, knowing and expecting that you're a good father. You're a good father. So we bless, we welcome in this year with worship. We bless this year. It's going to be a good one. Amen. Amen. Well, again, thank you guys for being flexible. I know it's a weird, kind of different service, but thank you guys for being flexible and being here. Have an amazing first week of 2017. If you have your papers, and throw them in that box, and we'll try to keep track of it for a whole year. Bless you guys. Amen.